I was joking with Terry last night. I said, you know, you're probably only one of a handful of Midwest, middle-aged white guys that got a call from the minister saying, hey, can you learn a new rap song before Sunday? Let's give Terry another round of applause. I'm going to keep talking about you for a moment. As I was sitting there this morning, I was thinking, Terry is sort of like the Swiss Army knife of the band. You know, he can do anything, and it's like rap or country or whatever, so thanks, Terry. Oh, gosh, speaking of Swiss Army knives, my daughter and I went out last weekend, and we had dinner, and then we got in the car, and I was like, do you have a toothpick? And she's like, oh, yeah, I got a toothpick, and she pulls out this Swiss Army knife, which comes with a toothpick, and she hands it to me, and I'm going like this, and I said, that's a cool knife. Where'd you get it? She said, at the thrift store for a quarter. Now what, she wasn't going to tell me if I hadn't asked that she was handing me a toothpick that had been at the thrift store. I wondered how many people had gone down the aisle and said, well, I don't know if I need a knife, but a toothpick wouldn't. Oh, okay, anyway, that's a whole different talk. Rick Stone did this graphic for us. And if you've noticed, our graphics are getting cooler and cooler, especially if you watch the talks online. Rick is putting the graphics in with them. And when he came up with this one, because I told him my talk was on purpose, at first I looked at it and I thought, you know, I totally get that. And then I looked at it and I was like, I don't get that at all. And I think I'm back to getting it. And I'll tell you what it means for me. 25 years ago, I was 26 years ago, I was 28 years old. And I was living in Seattle, Washington, and I wanted to learn how to speak in front of groups, so I was going to Toastmasters. And they assigned us a talk, and in this particular case, it was on the homeless in Seattle. But they said they wanted us to talk about it from a completely different perspective than what other people would normally speak about the homeless. And my particular speech that day was looking out at the people who lived on the streets, who weren't working and everything. What a shame it was society was missing their contribution. You see what I'm saying? Not, we need to fix this, everything like that, which is absolutely true. I mean, there are things we need to do and we need to help and everything, but to also say, everybody has something to contribute. Every one of us has something to contribute. You know, Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, is the biggest selling nonfiction book of all time. And I think the reason for that is that deep inside of us, everybody knows that we're here for a purpose. The question is, what's that purpose? My projection is that so many of us aren't living on purpose. We're not living a purpose. We're living an agenda. And in a lot of cases, that's an agenda that was set by other people. Parents, coworkers, even children. You know, you may want to go off and do this, but that's darn inconvenient to other people, even your family. I've discovered being a parent now, Leo will be 18 in a couple of months, there is a part of us as parents, we brag about our children because if our children are doing something cool, then supposedly it's like the third law of thermodynamics. The heat transfers off onto us. So we're cool because they're cool. And if our child wants to go off in a direction that makes us go, yeah, that's not really very cool, then we sort of look at them and go, maybe not, you know? And then our ego says everybody has a purpose, except you. You're redundant somehow. You're unnecessary to the equation. Just keep remembering that. And the ego is there trying to protect you. The ego is there to try and get you not to go off and do what society and sometimes yourself might even think is crazy. And yet it's the people who do the crazy things that we celebrate. Try and find a single person that walked the middle road. You know, there's a great bumper sticker that I see that says, well-behaved women rarely make history. And the same is true for men. The same is true for people, because nobody knows what's inside of us except us. And until we discover that, we will never be happy. Now, I know I'm big for making sweeping statements, but that's a sweeping and important and true statement. Until we discover what our, as Hindus say, what is your dharma? What is your purpose? You know, the word, when you look up the word purpose, it says the reason for which something is created. And it always seems to be created at the right time. So if you're here, there's a reason you are here. You're part of this great society, and you inside alone can decide what that is. But when you decide, everything changes. Everything changes. You know, if an alien came down here and looked and saw something and said, you know, saw this and said, what's that for? You know, it wouldn't say, what does it do? Because what it might be doing is being used to prop a door open, but that's not what it was intended for. It might be just used as ballast on a boat or something other than what it was intended for. It was intended to drive nails, and yet it's being used for something other than what it was intended for. So many people today are doing rather than being what they were intended to do. They're doing jobs they don't find enjoyable. They're doing relationships they don't find enjoyable. Or mostly they're doing the couch and television to distract them, to get them caught up in all of the stuff that's going on in other people's lives so they don't realize, holy cow, I'm not living my life. I'm not living my life. And until you live your life, that piece is missing for everybody. Now, at first, when you bring your piece and try and stick it in there and get it in there, people might kind of go, hey, what's going on here? But ultimately, when you do, they go, I often find it's the ones who go, I don't know about the direction. I ain't so sure about you. Who turn around and go, you know, I know that person. Isn't it cool? Let me tell you about a cool person. They did this. And it's never too late to discover and to begin to live your purpose. Talk about inconvenient. I heard an interview the other day with Kenny G. Remember Kenny G? Yeah. Kenny G was actually playing saxophone for Barry White, and then he was playing saxophone for Junior Walker and the All-Stars, and they had a new hit out, and he was supposed to be on the Johnny Carson show to play his lead solo in this Junior Walker song. So he's on there, they pitch it to him, they introduce him, everything is ready to go, and you know what he does? He plays Songbird. You remember the song Songbird by him? It only sold 15 million copies. He said everybody on the Johnny Carson show was furious at him. His publicist was furious at him. His agent was furious at him. He said, it just felt right. It just felt like I was supposed to do that. And then what happened was everybody started trying to get a copy of this song, which had never even been recorded. He had to go in the studio and record it to release it. And then people wanted more music like that, and they discovered Bob James, Spira Gyra, and the entire soft jazz thing was created simply because Kenny G said inside of him, I don't want to do that little punctuating thing for the, I want to do something this is me. When you do that, expect people to be a little off-put and a little, are you crazy? But they're going to turn around and go, what's your purpose? Why are you here? Albert Schweitzer was asked that question. Why are people here? Why do human beings exist? And he said, it's antiquated in his way of speaking, but he said, we are here to serve other men only. That was when the word man was used as meaning both male and female, meaning humanity. We're here to serve other people. Isn't that weird? And the weird thing about that is all the things that we want, we're going to get once we get on purpose and serve other people. This is what Jesus Christ meant when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all things will be added unto you." The kingdom of God is when you're on your own path doing your thing. We say this every week in Vision's purpose, to have fun while having a positive impact on people's lives. I always come in and feel like I'm only speaking to one person, because usually every week somebody comes up to me and says, "Oh my God, you were talking exactly to me." And I never know who it is. And it may actually sometimes be 20 people, and sometimes it is one person. But to have a positive impact on people's lives and to have fun, that's the main thing. If this isn't fun, why do it, right? But this not only is something that we want to be our purpose statement, this is in some ways our, it used to be called a charge, okay, in traditional Christian sense. This is our charge to you. Go forth, have fun. What's number one? What's the first part? If you're not doing that, you're not doing it right. So number one is have fun. And then number two is have a positive. At the end of the day, could you live a better life than that? How was your day? Well, I had fun and had a positive impact on people's lives. You're good. You're good. I read The Purpose-Driven Life several years ago when I was on a silent retreat. And I got my journal and I worked on my purpose. Because we should have a purpose. Every one of us should ask ourselves what it is. And what I found is, after I worked on it, I had kind of what I thought it really should be. And then my ego went, "Well, are you really discerning God's will, or are you establishing your own thing?" And I prayed about this, and God went, "Yes." Because they're the same thing. When you even say, "I want to establish and figure out what my sacred purpose is," you have stepped into the temple of spirituality. You have to. You have to step into your own heart, and you have to be quiet, and you have to listen. Here's mine. This is my Facebook page. Most of you have seen this. A catalyst for positive transformation. That's my objective. That's what came to me, that I am that. In many ways, I sort of looked at what I already do. And a catalyst, I remember they tried to explain to us in science class in school what a catalyst was. And they showed this particular liquid, and then they poured another inert liquid into it. And the first liquid turned blue. It was clear before. And they said, "This is a catalyst." It was this. It's still the same liquid. It's just a little different color. So a catalyst is a spark. I see my role in the world is to be a spark, is to just get people to think, to listen, to whatever. You know, another thing they taught us in ministerial school, a minister's job is to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. So sometimes my job is to rattle you up a little bit. I get that. So that's what a catalyst does. A catalyst to me is like a spark, you know? And if a spark gets to the right kindling, it'll catch fire. But if the wood's wet, it doesn't catch. It doesn't make the wood wrong, and it doesn't mean the spark isn't working. And what I love is watching people whose lives do transform over time, not just from listening to me and being here and everything else, but through their other practices in their life, through their other things. A catalyst for positive transformation. I looked up the word positive. You'd think I'd know. It's one of those words that we all think we already do know. So why would you go looking it up, right? Unless you're me. I looked up the word positive, and it simply means focusing on what is present rather than what is absent. That's simply what the word positive means, to focus on what is present than what is absent. Now, if you look at our culture, you look at our society, you look at advertising, you look at news, you look at television shows, what's missing? What's wrong in this relationship? Aha, drama, you've got me engaged. Who did this murder? Da-da-da, let's get engaged. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. What is missing? Let us find the answer. Let us seek this out. Positive says, no, let's focus on all the good stuff and turn the other stuff over to something else that's ideally present, you know, I don't know, God. And then we can go back to the have fun part. We don't need to get caught up in the drama. And then the transformation happens where we just simply, it's not like all of a sudden we sit around and ohm all the time. We just sit around and realize it's okay. It's okay. And this happens when we're on purpose. You look at something and you say, what's it do? Well, that's not necessarily its purpose. You ask yourself, what's it for? And when you look at something, and even when you know what it's for, the bottom line of what it's for, the same is true whether it be for this or for you, is simply to shine your light. So just figure out what you're for. That's when you get happy. That's seeking the kingdom of God first, and all good things get added unto you. Take somebody's hand. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, God, that we have the light of God within each and every one of us, and it is our purpose. That spark, that thing that is fun for us, so that we then can do it and it blesses the most people. Help us, God, to have the courage to discern what is ours to do and then to have fun doing it. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I hope you find this to be a blessing in your life. If you do, be sure and podcast these broadcasts. That is, set your device, your phone, your iPad, your computer to automatically receive these. You can do it through iTunes or you can do it through podbean.com. Go to willbowen.podbean.com and subscribe. Have a great week. I look forward to talking to you real soon. You can connect with me at will@willbowen.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.